As you try to come to terms with the whole topic of narcissism, I think one of the things you'll realize is it's such a broad topic that it doesn't lend itself very well to stereotypes. There's so many different ways that narcissism can be portrayed. Now, we talk about some folks being very overt in their narcissism. They're loud, they're brash, they're forceful, they dominate and take over a situation very easily, and those people are kind of easy to spot. But then you have what we call the covert narcissist. Now, I know in some other videos we've talked about that, but the covert narcissist is not nearly so loud and in charge. And in fact, part of their strategy is that the lower they go under the radar, then the less you can understand who they are, which actually keeps them in a power kind of position. And you may not think like that, but in their mind, it's like, yeah, and the more silent I might be in the way that I like to be in control, then the better off everyone's going to be. And they actually feel like I'm winning when I do that. And then, by the way, there are some people who bounce back and forth between both overt and covert tendencies. So today I'm going to go through 18 different ways that a covert narcissist may play out some of their manipulations or control with you. And the more you understand these, then the better informed you can be as you try to figure out how to respond. So let's get right to it. Now, number one, the covert narcissist makes very low attempts to connect with you. It may be something simple, like you're trying to share with them personal things, or you discuss things that are of interest to you. And over time, you realize that person doesn't share back very deeply, or they don't seem to ask a lot of follow-up questions, or they don't seem all that impressed or concerned. And the reason is they don't connect. They don't want that heart-to-heart kind of exchange, because that puts them, at least in their mind, into a subordinate place, and they don't want to be there. Number two, covert narcissists can be very sensitive in the way that they respond to you. In other words, they can be very thin-skinned. You might just say something like, well, why don't we try this instead of that, and as you're trying to approach a task? And it's like, why are you always making my life so hard? And they can just be upset. Do you just not like me, or do you not care about what I'm doing, or do you just think I'm stupid? And it's like, no. I'm just offering a suggestion. Sometimes you can have the wrong inflection in your tone of voice. You may have a look on your face, or you may be 3 minutes late for something, and they'll interpret that in who knows what kind of crazy way, hypersensitivity. Now, number three, and this is kind of a flip to that, they don't have much sensitivity to you and to your emotions. When you share something that's very meaningful to you, whether it's you have a sentimental moment, or let's say you're feeling frustrated, you realize they don't go in very deeply with you because they don't care. Going back to number one, they don't connect. And then how about number four? And that is, they can overinterpret your emotions include themselves, or to inject themselves in a way that makes it very self-centered. Now, what I mean by that is, let's suppose that you say, I had a really nice visit yesterday with a friend, and let's say David, and we had a real nice talk. And then that covert narcissist is thinking, why didn't you call me yesterday? You didn't want to do anything with me? Am I just chump change? I mean, what's such a big deal about David? And so they overinterpret you and make your experiences all about them, of course, in a negative direction. Or how about number five? Many times they can seem bored or disinterested in their engagements with you. There can be times when you're around them and they don't speak much, they don't interact much, they don't ask any kind of questions, they just seem very disinterested and disconnected, and that's part of that need to be in control. The less they reveal, the less they get into you, then the more in control they are. But many times they just kind of have this impression that says, you just don't mean much to me, go away. Or how about number six? They operate with a chronic sense of judgment. Now, they may not be as overwhelming as the overt narcissist may be in their judgments. In fact, the covert narcissist may just say something like, well, I just don't agree with that, or I don't know why anybody would do something like that. But those kind of comments can be so persistent and prevalent across the board day in and day out that you realize, what does it take to get on your good side? And why is it that so many little bitty things bother you, and they just kind of shrug? It's like, you just don't understand. Just part of their judgment. Or how about number seven? they can be uncomfortable in groups. Now I understand that some folks can be introverted and being around large groups of people isn't their cup of tea, but many of those people can realize, well, you know, that's where we are, so let's make the most of it. The covert narcissist is like, oh, just shoot me. I don't want to be around people. They're a bunch of idiots anyway. I don't like the way they think. Last time I went to that group, they were all just bragging about themselves, and they didn't care about anything. They'll find all sorts of things wrong with the people and the groups in front of them, which is their way of saying, get me out of here because I like being in a place where I'm in total control. Or number eight, they can quietly blame other people for their flaws. Now, a classic one is, let's suppose that covert narcissist is running a little late and they just say something like, yeah, traffic got to me, or I had to take care of some of the kids' needs and it was their fault. And then you're thinking, but you're the same amount of late everywhere you go, and every time you come around, you always have an excuse. Or let's suppose that they made an error at work, or they blundered in the way that they handled something with one of the kids, something like that. Well, it's rather than saying, you know, lesson learned, boy, did I goof up. They can't think like that. It's always someone else's fault. Or how about number nine? Their apologies can seem shallow. It may be that they've been caught red-handed doing something wrong, or their blunder is so obvious that they have to say something, and so they may just say, sorry, or, yeah, that didn't work out too well, did it? And they don't really name it. They don't really agonize about it, certainly. And you don't really get the satisfaction that says, yeah, you've really thought this thing through in such a way where it's going to be a positive in the long run. They don't apologize well because they have to be superior, and apologies imply, well, I'm human like everybody else. Or how about number 10? They can punish you with silence. Now, I've actually dedicated an entire segment to the silent treatment in the narcissist, but sometimes rather than being loud and forceful and pushy with their anger, they're capable of it, but many times they'll just go into a deep withdrawal. You've done something that's offended them, and they may not talk with you for long extended periods of time. If you're around them in public, they may not even look at you, or it's just like you don't exist. They don't care, but that's their way of expressing anger, and that also goes back to that thin skin part that they have. Or how about number 11? They operate with easy feelings of victimization. You know, what are you doing to me? So if you, let's just say if you change plans and say, hey, you know, I know that next Friday we were going to do such and such, but something's come up. Let's say there's an emergency. It's like, why are you always making my life miserable? Or if you do something and they don't agree with it, it's like, you are one of the most difficult people that I've ever had to deal with. And so they always make themselves the victim. Look what you're doing to me. And that's part of low empathy. They don't look into who you are and what's behind your decisions. It's all about them. Or number 12, they might appear humble, and yet there's an egotism behind their humility. Now, what I mean by that is sometimes in their silence and in their quiet nature, you can think, well, there's a gentle soul. And then over time, as you get to know them, it's like, no, that's not a gentle soul. They're over there just scorning people. They just don't say anything about it. So they may not inject themselves in the forceful way that the overt narcissist would do. But what appears at first to be tender and soft actually is a disguise for an attitude that says, you're just so beneath me, I don't even want to invest in you at all. Or number 13, they often feel jealous. If something good happens to you, you know, it'd be nice if that person can say, hey, way to go, or I'm happy for you, or this is really cool. I know that you were hoping for that, and sure enough, it came through. But instead, if something good happens to you, if you're describing an emotional exchange that you had with somebody else, it's like, who needs that? Or I wish that would happen to me. Or in other words, they can't experience joy or any other kind of emotion with you because it's like, well, that should have been mine. Or number 14, they have difficulty saying thank you or expressing gratitude. Let's suppose you've done them a great favor, or that you were very helpful with somebody that's in their sphere of influence. And, you know, they might say, okay, thanks. But rather than saying, you know what, I was in a pinch and you came through for me, way to go. They don't really express that kind of gratitude or thankfulness in a way that makes you feel like it's heartfelt. Or number 15, what appears as shyness may actually be a cover for smugness. Many times the covert narcissist can be in a group and they're over there off to the side, and it seems like they just don't have a whole lot to say. But if you were to get inside their mind, they're over there thinking, what a bunch of losers I'm having to hang with. Or you're so difficult, I don't even want to mess with you. But, you know, when somebody says, hey, come on and join us, it's like, no, I don't really want to. And a lot of it is just because they feel so superior to you. Or number 16, they can hold grudges for a long time. There might be a time when you're engaging with somebody, that covert narcissist, and you find out that they're still mad about something that happened 7 years ago. It's like, hey, get over it. It's like, I don't get over it. I remember when you do something wrong, I've got a scorecard right here, and I'm not going to forget it. Or how about number 17? They often identify as a misunderstood, unique person. See, keeping in mind, part of narcissism means that you like to be superior. And so if they don't engage well with other individuals, it's because, well, I'm just different in a wonderful way. And so rather than identifying as a part of the common folk, they can't do that. So, well, if people don't understand me, it's because they don't understand my greatness, or they don't understand how my mind operates at a much higher level. And so there's that, that sense of arrogance that can come there. And then how about number 18? They're not curious. They're not curious about you anyway. And they may have their own little pet projects that they like to get into, but rather than them asking, hey, what prompted you to have this interest? Or tell me a little bit more about thus and such that happened in your life. It's like, I don't care. Now, going through all of these, you realize, man, there's so many different ways that people can have this control dimension. So how are you going to respond or inwardly to these kind of folks? And I've got just a few thoughts as we close here. First and foremost, understand that they actually like that emotional isolation. And so don't live with the assumption that they want to do anything different. In other words, the more you think, maybe I can connect with this person, maybe I'm going to be the one that breaks through, don't let yourself think that way, because it just is what it is. Which then leads to another thought, and that is, when you plead or you make an attempt to fix that person's style, it's only going to drive them deeper into their patterns. Keep in mind that when you have a lot of passive aggressiveness, the passive aggressive is thinking, oh, this feels so good when I know I'm frustrating you. So the more you plead, the more you beg, then the more they go into that passive situation because they love to see you wiggle. Or another thought, you're going to need to drop any sense that you're going to have intimacy with these folks. Intimacy, not just of a sexual nature, but just at a level where it says, you know, I'm going to share my heart with you and I want you to share your heart with me. It won't happen. And so finally, we're going to say, you're going to need to learn to get your personal fulfillment from places other than that narcissist. You know, the covert narcissism can be a little bit more difficult to deal with because it can be hidden at first. But once you see the pattern, then I'm hoping you can learn that it's not about you when they act that way. This is just indigenous to what they are. And I'm hoping that you can separate off and live your life according to your wise distinctions. Now, I hope that you gained something from the videos that we put up. Right beneath this video, you're going to see a subscribe button. I'd like to invite you to hit that button so that when new videos come up, we can apprise you of that. You'll notice also beneath the video that we have some links there for you with books and online workshops, and I would hope that you would avail yourself to that. I really enjoy doing this, and I like getting the feedback from you, and actually, many of the videos that I do are because of suggestions that you've given me. So keep up with the comments. I love hearing from you, and I will see you next time.